Welcome to Digest This, the show that helps you revolutionize your digestive health. Here are your hosts, Dr. Liz Cruz and Tina Nunziato.
Hello, and welcome to Digest This. I'm Dr. Liz Cruz, and I've got Tina Nunziato sitting right here by my side. Thank you so much for joining us wherever you may be, whatever time it is, wherever you are. We're so excited to have you on the show. And if you are a first-time listener, we welcome you. And if you are a regular listener, we welcome you also, and we love that you have been on this journey with us. So today, we thought we'd talk a little bit about the announcement that was made today about the opioid epidemic.
Well, this has been being talked about like a good part of this year.
It has. It has.
Yeah, this is a pretty big deal.
It is a big deal. Yeah. But today, President Trump.
It's a Freudian slip there, Dr. Cruz.
President Trump. President Trump declared an opioid, that the opioid epidemic is a national, he basically declared a national public health emergency. Mm-hmm. And you're right. It has been going on for several months where they've been talking about this. And I guess today was the day.
Yeah, well.
So, you know, I really didn't understand how much of a problem this is. And yeah. So we actually did a little bit of research and found some very interesting facts that I think we should share.
Yeah, like in our office, I mean, we try to stay away from painkillers and stuff like that.
Absolutely.
I mean, we very rarely ever give a painkiller for anything, no matter how bad the digestive issue is. So, you know, we're not prescribing these things very often
at all. We don't prescribe narcotics in our office. Right. Yeah, that's pretty much been my stance for several years now. I mean, I can't remember the last time I prescribed a narcotic, but you know, it really has become such a common thing for patients to come in and on their medication list or the medicines that they tell us they're on, you know, they're on a painkiller
or two or three.
Yeah. And it's not, I mean, it's not uncommon these days. Yeah. It's very common. And it's almost like it's
like a
just,
given.
It's just a given.
Yeah.
And, you know, now there are pain specialists that are anesthesiologists and, you know, who have chosen to just focus on pain. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and they do different things. I'm sure that there's different areas in pain management and pain medicine that they could do. But a lot of patients who are on painkillers, specifically narcotic painkillers, will many times be under the care of a pain specialist. And so it is a huge problem. It's a big problem. I mean, some of these facts were staggering, you know, and just crazy. I mean, for example, more than 90 Americans die, okay, after overdosing on opioids
every day.
Mm-hmm. More than 90 Americans die.
Yeah.
All right. That's a lot.
Yeah.
That's a huge number.
I mean, think, we get all worked up when there's a shooting and 30 people die.
Right.
Right. And this is happening every day, and it's 90 people every day. And we didn't even know about it, for goodness sake. You know, you're not really talking about it a whole lot out there.
You don't. I mean, you know, we, just like you said, we hear about all these massive shootings and, you know, the recent Las Vegas shooting. And I can't remember how many people died. I mean, there were several hundreds that were hurt, that were injured, but that died. I think it was like maybe 50 or 60 that died. Mm-hmm. But, you know, did you know that more than 90 Americans were dying on a daily basis, mm-hmm, from overdosing on opioids, okay? And this is a problem, mm-hmm, starting at a very young age.
Yeah, they say they're tracking it from 12 years of age and up.
Yes.
That's heartbreaking.
It is. It is. A few of the other facts that we read about, some of these facts we were reading from the National Institute on Drug Abuse, NIH, and they were talking about the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention estimates the total economic burden, okay, of prescription opioid misuse just in the United States is $78.5 billion a year. Okay, and that's including the cost of healthcare, addiction treatment, criminal justice involvement, lost productivity. Mm-hmm. So
that's, the rehab programs. Yeah,
absolutely. Mm-hmm. All right. All of that stuff. You know, and one of the things that I found interesting was that about 80% of the people that use heroin first misuse prescription opioids. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So can we back up a little bit?
And yeah.
So that for the people who are listening and might not know what an opioid is or a mm-hmm. painkiller, can we talk about the names of some of these?
Yeah, absolutely.
Drugs.
Yeah. So some of the common ones that you've probably heard are morphine. Mm-hmm. Morphine, fentanyl, hydrocodone, mm-hmm. OxyContin,
Vicodin, Percocet,
mm-hmm. that's right, heroin.
Mm-hmm. Heroin, yeah, is another form mm-hmm. of it. So, you know, some of these are prescription drugs and some right. of them are illegal drugs.
Right.
But what seems like is happening is that people are getting prescribed these drugs. And then what happens is that it affects the brain receptors, right? And it blocks the ability to feel pain. But it also activates the part of the brain that is euphoric.
Right. And because of the dopamine.
Right. And so people feel euphoric when they're on these medicines and they don't feel pain. But the thing that I thought was interesting that I didn't know is that the longer you take these medicines, the more you need to take each time to feel the same effect. So that makes them very addicting, and it makes it to where you need more all the time. More, mm-hmm. more, right? So I didn't know that about painkillers or any of these drugs. But what sounds like is happening is people are getting addicted, and then on let's say prescription meds that right. they're given, mm-hmm. and then it's not enough anymore, right? And so now we switch over to heroin because it's a, you know, more of a direct
right. In fact, they were saying in some of the articles that we were reading, they were saying that about 4 to 6% of those that misuse the prescription opioids transition over to heroin. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's sad because they were saying, was it three out of four that will, I mean,
3 out of 4 who are on heroin has started with prescription medication.
Yeah, they started with, so it could be like a very completely mm-hmm. Innocent type of thing where, you know, you have knee surgery or you've got mm-hmm. some sort of surgery, you're given a prescription for a narcotic mm-hmm. painkiller to help you cope with the pain. And before you know it, you're hooked on the medicine.
Yeah.
You're hooked on the medicine.
But then it's not enough.
Right.
Yeah.
It's not
enough. And apparently,
enough.
I also didn't know this, that heroin is actually cheaper than prescription drugs.
Right.
So it's just, you know, a win-win for those people who are on this stuff.
It is. Well, you know, I thought this was interesting. They were saying, how did this happen? Mm-hmm. You know, there was one of the articles was talking about yeah. how did this happen?
Yeah.
Well, apparently in the late 1990s, mm-hmm. Pharmaceutical companies were basically reassuring the medical community, okay, that patients would not become addicted mm-hmm. to prescription opioid pain relievers. And so healthcare providers started prescribing them like crazy.
Yeah, more and more.
They were prescribing them. And, you know, before you knew it, I mean, there was like a complete misuse of a lot of these medications, mm-hmm. You know, and then it became clear that the medications actually could be highly addictive.
So this is a statistic that I wanted to throw out there. This is now a good time because it talked about how the number of opioid prescriptions, that's a really hard word to say.
I know.
The number of opioid prescriptions dispensed by doctors steadily increased from 112 million prescriptions in 1992 to its peak of 282 million in 2012.
Prescriptions. Wow.
Right. Probably because of that reassurance
yeah.
by the pharmaceutical companies.
That's right.
don't worry, it's safe. No one's going to get hooked on this stuff.
Yeah.
It's all good. Yeah.
That's right. Well, I tell you what, we definitely have a public health crisis, okay? You know, 90 deaths, more than 90 deaths a day from this crisis is that it's sad. Mm-hmm. It's sad. And, you know, so there's, he declared it a public national emergency. Mm-hmm. Supposedly that lasts for about 90 days, you know, but well, he can continue to renew it.
There was a lot of talk about how he didn't, that apparently he was going to declare a public emergency, but he didn't officially declare a public emergency. He kind of did a step down from that. So there are some people really disappointed in what he said because they thought he could have come on a little bit stronger with it. Because based on how he, based on what he defines it as, will determine the funding
right
that this whole effort gets. And apparently the way he's defined it, it's not going to get the funding
right
that it
if
needs.
He had declared it a national disaster, like a natural disaster emergency, which I can't remember how they referred to that, then there's funding,
right?
You know, there's definite funding for that, but the way it's being declared right now,
the question is
where are the funds going to come from,
right? And how long is this going to last?
You know, he's linking it to
the wall, right?
A
lot of his focus has been on illegal drug use,
mm-hmm.
but honestly, like, I think a huge part of the problem is the prescription drug use that's being legally given out every day,
right?
I mean, these, you know, doctors are consistently giving these prescriptions. So really, I mean, there's a lot of places to start with this thing, but that seems to be a pretty natural place to start. But, you know, I'm not president, so I don't know.
Are you sure? As far as I'm concerned,
I'm president of this house, you know.
Yeah, you are.
Co-presidents.
Yeah, you are. Yeah, so no, definitely. I mean, so, you know, what does this mean? I'm not sure. I mean,
well,
they were talking about
how they want to go after the pharmaceutical companies. Okay. So this is one of the things. So here, this was another fact that we read that I thought was really interesting. Back in 2007, the federal government brought criminal charges against one of the pharmaceutical companies for misleading advertising on OxyContin as safer and less addictive than other opioids. The company and three executives were charged with misleading and defrauding physicians and consumers. Okay, I'm not going to say which pharmaceutical company this was. The executives pled guilty. They agreed to pay $634.5 million in criminal and civil fines. Okay, the three executives pled guilty on criminal misdemeanor charges and were later sentenced to probation.
Mm.
Okay, so what does that say?
Yeah.
Okay. You know, if we're going to actually go after pharmaceutical companies for this stuff, you know, let's actually make it hurt a little bit, you know, not just, oh, these guys are making tons of money. I mean, let's just not make it about money, you know? It's just amazing to me that we'll say it's important and then it's really not important,
mm-hmm.
right, when it comes down to it. So we'll see what happens. It'll be interesting to watch this fall out and, you know, just...
Yeah, I think that it will be interesting to see what the crackdown is going to be.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, I think that from the physician standpoint, maybe there needs to be more of a crackdown on who can prescribe these medicines,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I know for a fact that there are a lot of doctors already that they will not prescribe the narcotics. If the patient is coming in and wanting, you know, asking for prescriptions,
mm-hmm.
a lot of times they will say, you've got to go see a pain specialist.
Mm-hmm.
So that's good because it now forces the patient to have to now go another step to try to find a pain specialist and get referred to them. And so, you know, so it kind of creates more steps in the process, mm-hmm. and sometimes they don't feel like doing that.
Yeah,
but of course, then they're going to go and find it somewhere
yeah,
else.
Yeah, the articles were talking about how we always find a way to misuse.
Yeah.
Right? Over the course of history, in every situation, we found a way to misuse.
Well, and we always find
a
way around.
Addiction. Yeah.
You know? Because if they can't get it from someone, they can always go and find another doctor. And so there's always, you know, they're always looking for a way around it.
Yeah.
You know, so I know the NIH has things that they're trying to do as far as things that, you know, focusing as far as the efforts and trying to address this. You know, they're trying to improve access to treatment and rehab recovery services, promoting the use of overdose reversing drugs, which I think is interesting. I mean, because it's not really getting at the
people
issue.
Off drugs.
It's just basically
just here, put you here's on a different drug.
Right. Here's a medicine that will reverse the effect. So you can keep taking your Percocet mm-hmm. and this will reverse the effect of it. Mm-hmm. So, I mean,
let's just add a drug right. to the situation.
Right. Yeah. And then
that's a very American way. It
is. It is. Yeah. You know, and then increasing our understanding of the epidemic, which I think is really important mm-hmm. because I didn't really understand how serious yeah. this
and
was.
You're a doctor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't deal with narcotics. I don't prescribe narcotics. Mm-hmm. And I'm not in that arena of using narcotics. And honestly, we don't have, I mean, every once in a while somebody will ask, but not that often mm-hmm. in our practice. So I didn't realize what was going on. And like these statistics that we found are really, you know, it's just
shocking. Yeah.
It's shocking that to me, I keep thinking about the fact that almost 100 people or probably over 100 people a day are dying. Mm-hmm. And so that's a very sobering thought, you know, that we're losing so many people mm-hmm. to this epidemic. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so there are things that are being done. You know, there's research on pain and addiction that's going on. And, you know, and I think just improving the practices for pain management. You know, I think that there are definitely a lot of areas that can be targeted to help improve. So it'll be interesting to see what Trump comes up with, mm-hmm. what his exact plan is. You know, I'll mm-hmm. be very interested in seeing what he comes up with, mm-hmm. you know, other than just linking it all to this wall.
The illegal
drugs. The wall, right. Yeah. Because I think, yeah, I mean, we could put the blame on it being smuggled in and brought mm-hmm. in from other places. But come on, there's a problem here, mm-hmm. right here in America.
Yeah.
And we need to take responsibility and be accountable, and we need to figure out how we're going to solve it right here.
Right.
So,
amen
to that.
Wow.
All right. Wow.
Thank you for joining us.
And we'll catch you on the next podcast.
Thank you for joining Dr. Liz Cruz and Tina Nunziato. To learn more about their revolutionary products and services, go online to www.drlizcruz.com.